Paul asked me here to just introduce the messenger this morning. So, Brother Misha, would you come up and I will pray for you. Misha Nazaruk is here with us this morning. He will be bringing the message today. He came from Ukraine for a few weeks for work, and his wife just joined him a few days ago, a week or so ago. And so we're happy to have them here with us. And Misha's going to bring the Word of God to us. So let's just stand together for prayer here. Father, I thank you for my brother Misha here, Lord. And I thank you, God, that he loves you and that he is walking with you, Father. And I pray that your Spirit would anoint him today as he brings a message from you, God. And to speak to our hearts, open wide our hearts, O Father, to receive your Word today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Father.
I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus, dear brothers and sisters. This morning in Sunday school class, when I was reading the text which was suggested for this morning, and I came across the word which is the main word of my message this morning. This word is faithfulness. A few times there were mentioned Moses was faithful, Jesus was faithful, and this morning I want to speak about faithfulness. I don't know how you feel about faithfulness, what it means to be faithful, but Christians in Ukraine now they go through the time when our faithfulness is tested. When the time of war came, and when young Christians are called to the army, and that's a time to check how faithful you are to your God. And we pray about young men, that God help them to be faithful. But I think God wants not only young people to be faithful, but each of us. And I want to speak this morning about faithfulness and love to the King. I want you to open 2 Samuel chapter 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 17 and further. That's the story of Jesus. Of David. Story of David. Life of King David. Chapter 15, 17 and further. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in a place that was far off. And all his servants passed on beside him, and all the Heretites, and all the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, "Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place, and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou comest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, return thou, and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee." And Ittai answered the king and said, "As the Lord live, and as my lord the king lives, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be." And David said to Ittai, "Go and pass over." And Ittai and Gittite, the Gittite, pass over, and all these, all his men, and all the little ones that were with him. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. The man I want to look at with you, his name is Ittai. Ittai used to live in a Gath. Gath was a city of kings. It was a royal city. It was the place where the family of Goliath lived. And you know, there are some places in the world, special ones, royal places. Not everyone is welcome there. Special people live there. So if you say, oh, I am from that place, ooh, it's important, sounds very important for someone. So Ittai lived in Gath. And one day, David came there. And for some period of time, Ittai could watch him. He could watch two different kings. He could compare two different lives. He was thinking, he was watching. He saw that life of David was special. He saw that God was with David. And the day came when David was ready to leave the city. And at this moment, Ittai decided, I will follow this king. And not only he, 600 people with him and his family. And I was thinking, what attracted Ittai? Was he going to the land because of honey and milk? You know, sometimes people are attracted by the view of the land. And I know also here people sometimes choose the place where to live. How nice it is. How perfect it is. You know, the Lot, he chose the land of Sodom and Gomorrah because it looked very nice. But Ittai was attracted not by the land. He was attracted by the person of David, king. And later on, after this king he followed, he had to go to an exile. A lot of things happened in his home, and David had to escape. And David, verse 19 and 20, he says, wherefore go thou also with us, return to your place, and abide with the king. For thou art a stranger and also an exile. David says, stay here. Stay, why? Why should you go with me? Actually, I am going to nowhere. I don't know the place where I will stay, how it will be. Stay. Don't follow me. Don't look for problems. It reminds me some words from Luke chapter 9. You remember what Jesus said once? Luke chapter 9, verse 57 and 58. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, and a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee with whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. Sounds very similar, right, brothers and sisters? And before them, in the front, there was a brook of Kedron they had to pass over. So future was not clear. The desert is next in the front. What could be behind? Behind could be comfortable life. If you stay here, you will feel well, no problems. And you have a choice. And David says, choose to stay. If you follow me, you will meet problems. In verse 21, the Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord lives, and as my lord the king lives, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even though also will thy servant be. It means that Ittai made a very strong decision what to do. In other words, he says, listen, I made this choice and I take responsibility and I will accept all the consequences of my choice that I will meet in my life. Story of Ruth, Ruth chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Do you remember when the mother-in-law was saying to the daughter-in-law, stay here, don't follow me? And what Ruth said? Verse 16 and 17. And the Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if you ought but death part thee and me. It's a very nice story, how daughter-in-law loved mother-in-law. It not happened every time in the life of people, right? It's not always we find such nice attitude to each other, so strong friendship, closeness to each other. But Ruth said almost the same words, you will die, I will die. Your God will be my God. Don't say, leave me. I want to go with you. You know, brothers and sisters, what we experience in our country, we could see for years how people in politics could move from party to another party. Why? The only one, because of one reason. Because the other party paid you more. That's why people were choosing where they could be better paid. So if they pay more, they move to that party. They are faithful to them. If these ones pay more, I follow them, you know. And they were running from party to party. I don't think it's something changed for today. But Ittai, he made the choice. And he says, this is my king. I will follow him. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 13 says, let us go forth therefore unto him. It's saying about Jesus. Without the camp, bearing his reproach. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. Ittai decided to follow the king. Not only when it was a nice time for the king, happy time, you know, when the life was going well, but he was ready to go without the camp to bear his reproach. And the story finishes with the verse 22 here in Samuel, 2 Samuel, when David said, go David said to Ittai, "Go and pass over." And Ittai and the Gittite passed over, and all his men, and all the little ones that were with him. And Ittai followed David. They crossed, passed over the brook of Kidron, and 300 people with him, and his children. We read his little ones. I think his children were asking, "Father, where are we going to?" And he was saying, "We are following our king, children. This is our king. And we are following him." And he paid the price. Ittai paid the price. They had to sleep in cold nights, not in comfortable places, no motels, no hotels. He paid the price. It was not always enough food. They had to provide all these people with food. Always there in alert. Maybe they didn't sleep well because they were waiting something is going to happen. So it was the price he had to pay. And he did. And he did. He practically proved his faithfulness and his deep respect to David the king. And children were watching. Children were watching the father, what father was doing. And when we go further on with a few pages, chapter 18, 2 Samuel chapter 18, we can see the reward for the faithfulness. 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 2. "And David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab, and the third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zechariah, Joab's brother, and the third part under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. And the king said unto the people, I will surely go with you myself also." So, we can see that that David, after all what happened in the past, he could give third part of his soldiers under the hand of Ittai. It means the king trusted him, and he was sure this person is faithful one, and he can lead his soldiers into the battle. It was David's answer to Ittai's faithfulness. God, he is very glad when he can see his servants are faithful. Gospel of Matthew chapter 25. There is a story about faithful people. Matthew 25 from verse 14 and further. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them offer other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. God do the same way. He appreciates very much faithful people. And one day, all faithful servants will get reward from God. God knows our life. He knows how we follow Him. And He will give reward. When we look at this story, what we can think about, what conclusions we could make. I don't know all of you who are present here today, but I want to say, if you, our dear friend, didn't leave the world yet, and you didn't make a decision, the most important decision of your soul, to follow the King of Kings, it's time to do this. The book Pilgrim Progress of John Bunyan, it tells about the Christian who left his own town, his friends, and all his old life. And it was very difficult, if you read this story. He paid the price. There was a lot of disrespect for him. The people mocked at him. What are you doing? You're foolish. Where are you going to? But he made a decision. And he left the town of sin. And he followed Jesus. He followed Christ. I remember when Jesus was standing before the Pilate, you know. And Pilate said to the Jewish, this is your king. Do you remember this? It's very interesting. He didn't say, this is my king. And what they answered? They said, John chapter 19, they said, he said, behold, your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Terrible. Pilate made a big mistake. And the Jewish people also. They knew actually who Jesus was. But they made a choice. They remember they said, no, emperor, this is our king. This is our king. So dear friend, which king do you follow today? Don't make the same mistake as Pilate did. To follow the king, that's the best decision of our life, when we can follow Jesus. I want to say for those who already are following Him, Lord wants us to be faithful. And He will come back soon in His glory. And He will give reward for everyone who was faithful. Maybe you paid the price today of following Him. Maybe you have some misunderstanding with your relatives who are non-believers. Maybe at your workplace or in school or the place where you study. But that's what we must pay if you follow this king. And we must be ready to go unto him without the camp to bear his reproach. And I want to say to the parents, your children are watching you. How you follow the king. And your life, your following, can give a lot of answers for their questions. Why so? Why so? And your life, your example, could help them to make a right choice, whom to follow. I remember my childhood when I watched my parents, how they followed the king. I saw their faithfulness to him in all difficult situations and in difficult time of the atheism in our country. I remember when we in local newspapers there were articles about my family, about my church, the people were mocking at us. But I watched my parents and I saw how faithful they were to the king. And it helped me to make my choice in my life, to follow him. Blessed all those who can say today, as Ittai said, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go, whether in death or life, I will be with you." Very strong, beautiful words. Jesus, Lord, is looking at his church today. Church, this is his bride. And every bridegroom dreams that his bride could be safe, could be faithful. Jesus wants his church, his bride, to be faithful. And if you belong to the church of Christ, you belong to the bride of Christ, and he wants us to be faithful. This morning we come together to worship King of Kings, Lord God Almighty. And let his holy name be glorified through our life, through our following him, and through our faithfulness. Amen.
Let's stand together for prayer. I'd like to pray, and then if there's others who want to pray as well, feel free to as we respond to God's word that we've heard today. Thank you for this word to us, Lord. Thank you for this encouragement. Lord, we do want to be faithful. In every station, in every place that you've put us, faithful to our King. We want to go where you go, Lord. We want to die where you die. Oh, God, that you would put that spirit in us, I pray, such as Ittai had, such as Ruth had. Lord, we say yes to the Word of God today. Make us faithful, Lord. Make us faithful in those secret places, O God, when nobody else sees us, nobody on earth knows, but there's a faithfulness in us of Jesus Christ that won't do that, won't click on that button on the computer, won't make that shady deal, won't make that little compromise. Oh, God, you're worthy of it, Lord. You're worthy of our faithfulness. Work it in us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Feel free to pray out loud if anybody else has a prayer. Just respond in your hearts to the Lord.
Heavenly Father, you have given us all talents here as we stand before you. I pray, Lord, that we could use our talents to gain justice, and that you would be well pleased with our lives, Lord. We don't have it in ourselves, but it is from you. Lord, I pray that you would raise up faithful men here in
yes,
the congregation.
Lord. Amen.
Say yes to you and follow you all the days of their life.
Amen.
Lord, we want to follow you wherever you lead us. We do not know what the future holds, but we know that you hold the future. We pray that you would equip us by your Holy Spirit to follow us everywhere you want us to go.
Live in me, Lord Jesus, live in me. Live in me, Lord Jesus, live in me. the work that must be done. There's a victory to be won every hour by thy power.
Thank you for bringing that word to us today, Misha. Appreciate that. A few things stood out to me. It's interesting, we're reading a book at night, our family, and last night we were reading it. And we read about this American fellow that who wrote this book. He had spent some time in Somalia. Back when the war was going on, and all that he saw around him was defeat, death, didn't see anybody come to the Lord, saw the few Christians that did, that, well, I guess maybe some did come to the Lord, or at least there were some Christians there, they got killed by the radical Muslims. And he came back asking a lot of questions. You know, God, how does your church survive? How can your church survive in these type of places? And he went on this journey, this quest, to find that, the answer to that. And he began traveling around to the world, to persecuted places. And one of the places he went to was Russia. Actually, the first place he went was Russia. And then he went to... So we read this chapter last night about he visited with these Russian believers. And his question was that he heard story after story of miracles, of God's keeping, of how God worked in prison camps, of how God worked in jails, and how God delivered his people, and how the faith was passed on to the next generation. And he said to these men, is there any books written about this? You know, why aren't these stories being told? These are incredible. This is, you know, miraculous. And the men looked at him kind of shocked. And they said, don't you read your Bible? And he was the one who was shocked now. Again, he said, don't you read your Bible? We're living with the Bible. These stories are all in the Bible. In other words, persecution, this is just normal Christianity. And that's what struck him. We're not living normal Christianity here. But most places in the world they are, where people are persecuted for their faith. And anyway, the story of the next chapter was about him going to Ukraine. I thought, well, wait a minute, Misha's coming tomorrow, we should read this one. So it was getting late, but we read it anyway, about his visit to Ukraine, and he visited with Christians in the Ukraine, and he found the same story. And the thing that stood out to me was, and as Misha shared his testimony, I heard it again. Did you catch what he said about what helped him to make the decision to follow Christ? He watched his parents' faithfulness. And he said, that's the God I want to serve. And over in Russia and Ukraine, we're not through the book yet, but anyway, that's what he's learning as of now in this book, is that's how the faith is passed on in difficult places. It's through watching the faith of the faithful ones in the midst of impossibilities, in the midst of persecutions. And I got to thinking, as Misha was sharing, about us here. And some of us here, you know, some of our testimonies are very similar to that. in terms of some of you came to know the Lord when you watched your parents go through something and come to the Lord. You watched them make choices that were very hard to make. You saw them be faithful. And you said, I'm going to serve God too. Right? How many of you could raise your hand and say that's your case here today? Anybody? Yeah. Quite a few of you. And so that struck me this morning. You know, what do our children see in us? Do they see us? Do they see us being faithful to such an extent? Going against the tide of culture, going against the tide of society and of evil and sin in such a way that they say in their heart, I want to serve that God too. He's worth serving. I want to be like my dad. You know, today's Father's Day. What an encouragement that is, isn't it? I said that last night. I prayed that. I said, Lord, make me a father that my children see something in me that they say, I'm going to serve God too. I don't care what this world has to offer. I want to be like dad. Make me like that. So, amen. Let's be faithful men and women. That's what our children need to see, right? Faithfulness in action. All the words in the world don't measure up to an ounce. You know, a ton of words don't measure equal an ounce of faithfulness in the power of the influence. Maybe you have something to share here this morning. If you do, raise your hand. And we'll get you a microphone. Is there anybody? God is speaking to you. Maybe you observe somebody's faith, being faithful, and that touched you. Maybe you want to share that. Maybe God spoke to you about something you want to repent of this morning. Let's just take a moment here and share. Anybody? There's one up here. Okay, go ahead, Robert.
Well, my parents, I was raised Catholic, so they always was working. I never had a chance to follow Jesus Christ. But when I met Merle and I met Claire and I met believers in this church and I see how they lived their life, I believe they had something that I never had. And just like you're talking, Brother Paul, there's no other place I want to be rather than as closer to Jesus Christ, because it's either heaven or hell. And we can live with Him forever.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for saving each and every one of us in this congregation. Because He has something that fulfills our soul that no religion has. But Jesus Christ has the answer.
Amen.
One area that has somebody's faithfulness has really encouraged me is in the Saturday morning prayer meetings. Different ones of you elders will share challenges that you're facing, trials you're facing, and we'll all pray for each other. But again and again, that has really encouraged me to see your examples in faithfulness. When life gets hard, you don't give up, don't just get down, get discouraged. That's a natural inclination I have that I have to resist and work against, and that has been a tremendous encouragement to me to see that faithfulness in your lives, and has strengthen me by seeing that example.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Is there another one?
I wasn't sure if I wanted to talk or not, but I've just been lately wishing that I could speak my gratefulness to this church for their faithfulness in praying for us and standing behind us, and also God's faithfulness in continuing to draw us and to just not let us go. It's very true that where the Bible says that He holds us in the palm of His hand. And I'm just thankful this morning that we have a faithful God and we have many faithful friends.
Praise God. Thank you for sharing that. All right.
I've been really, really blessed recently by seeing the faithfulness of God in everything that He tells us to do, all of His commands. Like, for instance, this morning with forgiveness, you know, God's just telling us something that's a part of His character. That's forgiveness. And also with faithfulness, that's who He is to us. And He's every command that God is giving, everything that He's telling us to do, He's showing us more who He is,
Amen.
What His heart is. And I've been so blessed by that.
Praise God. Man, He wants to live through us. Live that life through us. Thank you. All right, was there any other hands? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I was also raised Catholic, but I have a father who I believe was a believer. I don't know. He's been dead for over 40 years. There were a lot of questions that I would like to ask him now from this perspective. But he was continually seeking God. He really wasn't quite satisfied where he was. He knew there was something not quite right, and he lived, the best that he knew. And just difficult circumstances in his life and a lot of things. And, I just thought about it being Father's Day, and I really appreciated him.
Amen. Praise God for fathers. Yeah.
To bless my father, too. He's been dead for a number of years already, but his life left a big impact on mine. And I really appreciated his example in business, that he was a builder, built houses, never earned a lot of money, but he was known for his honesty. I think one of the ladies at the hardware store said he'd rather lose $5 than take one that wasn't his. And I know that, you know, when the bills came into the house, usually the check went out the next day. And, it was never a question about whether somebody's going to go be knocking on the door about bills that weren't paid, because Dad paid his bills.
Praise
the Lord. A blessing to me.
Praise God. That's a legacy to pass on.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.